What's up, sunshine? Welcome to beautiful San Antonio, Texas. We are on the beautiful Riverwalk, cruising along with our friends at Go Rio Cruises and my captain. This is Captain Joel. He's been doing this 33 years now. That is awesome. Welcome to CNN 10. I'm Coy Ware. We want to give a big congrats to the University of Connecticut, the Huskies, locking up their 12th NCAA Women's Basketball Championship in an impressive win over South Carolina. And on the men's side last night, right here in San Antonio, it was the Florida Gators coming out on top with their big win over Houston. So congrats to them as well. All right, let's get you your news. We start today with some of the dangerous spring weather that we're seeing across the southern U.S. and Midwest. Destructive storms unleashed relentless rain and produced tornadoes over the weekend, and they've only begun to subside at the beginning of the week. Across the central U.S., the National Weather Service logged at least 58 tornadoes since the storms began. Those storms dumped over a foot of rain across the Mid-South since last week. Over the weekend, more than a dozen daily rainfall records were set in Arkansas and Tennessee. Memphis saw its wettest day ever in April with more than 5 inches of rain. Although the rain has stopped, communities are not out of danger as rivers continue to rise. Widespread flooding has triggered evacuations, water rescues, and warnings to move to a higher ground across Kentucky. The Kentucky River is predicted to crest at a new record of 49.5 feet, the highest level it's reached since flooding in 1978. Kentucky's governor declared a state of emergency last week and urged residents statewide to take the flood threat seriously. Pop quiz, hot shot. Weather balloons carry what instrument used to measure the atmosphere? Barometer, radio sonde, thermostat, or anemometer? If you said radio sonde, rise up. It's a small battery-powered instrument suspended below a weather balloon, gathering atmospheric data like temperature, pressure, and humidity, then transmitting that info to a ground receiver via radio. The National Weather Service has been launching weather balloons and their attached radio sondes to make upper atmosphere observations since the 1930s. And while other methods like Doppler radar, satellites, and aircraft observations help in this effort, the National Weather Service considers weather balloons the best method for measuring weather factors like humidity, wind, and pressure for building accurate weather forecasts. So what happens if some of these balloons, launched twice a day from more than 100 sites across the U.S., no longer take flight? Our meteorologist, Ali Chinchar, has more.
We are at the National Weather Service office. We're going to be running through a weather balloon launch today.
There are roughly 100 National Weather Service offices scattered across North America and the Pacific Islands, and they're all roughly evenly spread out so that you get good coverage when you're trying to give forecasts for a specific area. All of these dots here represent a site that offers weather balloon launches twice a day, every single day. The yellow dots indicate a location that's gone down to just one launch per day instead of the usual two. The red dots indicate where they have gotten rid of the launches entirely.
Our particular weather balloon here is filled with hydrogen, which is then attached to an instrument called a radio sonde that measures temperature, humidity, pressure, as well as wind speed as it moves up in the atmosphere. One of their core functions is that the data that we take from them twice a day is used and ingested into weather models that produce the forecast that you, say, get on your phone or are utilized by your local or national TV meteorologist. They can also be used in the event of severe weather.
Sometimes, on extremely windy or stormy days, it actually can take 2 or even 3 National Weather Service employees to launch the balloons. Oftentimes, when you have a tropical system that is nearing landfall or a severe outbreak that is expected, many of these offices will actually issue extra balloon launches, perhaps 1 or even 2 more per day. Now, we're actually cutting back on the weather balloon launches rather than adding more in times that we really need to have the extras.
All right, so far in today's episode, we have talked about storms and the best ways to predict them, but what about some of the beauty that comes after the storm? Sometimes we see those rainbows, right? And it turns out this everyday marvel is more complex than you think. We all know that no two people are exactly the same, and it turns out no two people will ever see the same exact rainbow in the same way. Why? We humans each see our own unique set of reflected light from different raindrops from our own very different perspectives. Our Meg Terrell talks to a professor of atmospheric sciences to help explain this fascinating phenomenon.
Did you know that no two people see the exact same rainbow?
Each person sees their own rainbow.
These amazing displays of nature are different for everybody because they're created by sunlight refracting through raindrops and then reflecting back out. And we all see reflections from different drops, according to atmospheric scientist Dr. Stephen Businger.
It seems like you're seeing the same rainbow, but as a matter of physics, you're actually seeing different rainbows because you have a different perspective, slightly different perspective. So the rainbow is being made up of different raindrops.
We all know what it takes to make a rainbow, sunshine and rain at the same time. But what's actually happening, Businger says, is that as sunlight hits the droplets, it bends or refracts. And because colors travel at different wavelengths, the bending reveals them to the human eye.
The wavelength of blue light is shorter than the wavelength of red light. And the energy associated with the blue light is higher than the energy associated with the red light. And so the blue light tends to be bent more than the red light.
And each raindrop is actually reflecting only one color back to us. We see red on top of a rainbow and blue on the bottom because their different wavelengths mean they exit the raindrops at different angles.
Each raindrop in the shower is producing one color for your eye, and then you go to the next raindrop and it produces another color. And in some, that gives you the whole rainbow.
If you're very lucky, you might see a double rainbow.
It's a second reflection at the back of the drop so that the light comes out at a higher angle.
Or on a bright moonlit night.
If you go out at night and there's a full moon and you look away from the moon, there are times where you can see a rainbow or a moonbow, I guess it's called at that point.
But Businger's favorite rainbow fact is that you'll never find the end of a rainbow.
If you're in a helicopter or a small plane, you can see a full circle rainbow because the rain doesn't hit the ground and it creates a full circle.
So no pot of gold, but now you know some physics, and that's Everyday Science.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10 in Offline Club, ditching screen time for IRL time. The Offline Club started in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, offering a space for folks to take a break from their screens and all the distractions that keep us plugged in, scrolling and those sorts of things, and missing more in-person connections with the people around us. Now there are Offline Club chapters in cities around the world, from London to Lisbon to Dubai, where people of all ages are coming together for screen-free fun. Take a look.
My name's Ben Hounsell and I'm city leader for the Offline Club London. We're pioneering a movement to help people swap screen time for real time. It was founded by three Dutch guys in Amsterdam in February 2024. It's just a group of friends trying to get away from their phones. And since then it's really grown into a global movement. So it's just a phone-free event. You turn up, you hand your phone in at the start, and for the next 2 hours, you're offline. We'll have live music, live piano, and then people will pick up those forgotten hobbies. Reading, journaling, writing, it's really mindful. I'm not anti-tech myself. I think it's just very beneficial to get away from tech for a few hours. So I'm 23 years old. In my previous startup, I was spending hours upon hours a day optimizing video for TikTok, making sure it was as addictive as possible. Ironic, right? I think for us as humans, it's about discovering what parts of these phones that we want to use for good and what parts aren't benefiting us. Our core audience is actually 90% female, ages 25 to 50. So it's not actually really Gen Z and Gen Alpha that are coming to these events. I think they're just the most addicted to their phones. We got weaker real world connections. It's really declining our mental health. My pep talk would just be to come to an offline event. Come and chat to me there in person, and I reckon I could convince them to go offline for a bit.
All right, I want to give one more thanks to my captain, Joel. Appreciate you, sir. And we're going to make this a two shout out Tuesday. This one goes to the Cougars at Haddam Killingworth Middle School in Killingworth, Connecticut. Thank you for subscribing and making us part of your day. And this one goes to John Jay High School and all our Mustangs right here in San Antonio. We see you, Coach A. Remember tomorrow's hashtag, Your Word Wednesday. You know the drill. Submit your unique vocabulary word and definition along with your school's name, and we'll choose one fun winner to work in tomorrow's show. Let's go, and yeehaw, y'all. Hope you float on through this day real nice. Like, I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.